Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Thanks for taking a break with Gene and Mary every weekday at noon. Join us as we talk about what's on our mind. You can contact us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com, or you can interact with us on Facebook on Be Unique Radio page. Mary, are you there?
I am. I'm so sorry. I'm out of my element today. That is BUNEKE.org. And, you know, I'm going to forego my warning because I feel like I should warn everybody. You never know what's going to happen. Because sometimes I might be paying attention and sometimes I might just be out of my element. But, BUNEKE.org.
Like all of us.
BUNEKE.org. We're on a
different situation than we have been. Happy welcome back, Mary.
Thank you, and you too. Did you enjoy your spring break?
I did. You know, there's always thoughts about, you know, I wish it was longer and all that, but not me. I like taking a break with Gene and Mary.
Taking a break from the show was more of a necessary situation than it was, you know, I would have done the show from wherever we were, you know, if possible.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And now that you're learning more about how to manage the studio, so it's, you're making it possible, because I had so much trouble trying to do remote shows, and it was just so frustrating for me. You know, that old thing about you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you can. You can teach an old dog new tricks, but some of these old dogs just take a lot longer to learn. And I tend to be very technologically savvy. I usually adapt real quickly to most apps and software programs, but I was having a dickens of a time using my telephone to work the studio for Blog Talk Radio.
And right, yeah.
If I'm not home at my computer, I'm just not doing it. And that's also another thing about old dogs, is we get real set in our ways and we decide, well, this isn't working, I'm just quitting. You know, we don't fight it as much as we used to when we were younger. So you've taken over that aspect, and it helps free my mind a little bit. I have less to worry about. And that was one of the reasons we were taking a break. I needed some time away from home, and did that. Went to South Carolina, took care of some family business, and it was an emotional time for me, but it turned out very well.
Awesome.
I released my homestead, my mother's home, that I was raised, well, I was raised in it from the time I was 12 till I was 18 and left. But it was always my mom's home. And so I lived in that house for 6 or 7 years and then lived back in it with my mom before she died. And she gave it to me as her last will for me to have that house. But I lived 300 miles away, and it was always the burden of, I have to pay taxes on this house. I have to keep insurance on this house. I need to make sure somebody's there to cut the grass. Fortunately, my son and my brother took care of the yard most of the time. And then my son moved away, and so then I was beholden to my brother, please go over and make sure the grass isn't growing through, you know. But I still was 300 miles away, and I couldn't get inside the house from here to make sure that it was safe and in good repair. So at some point, as the universe would have it, I started manifesting what to do with this house, and I was really torn. There were a lot of options, and I didn't like but one, and that was the one that we ended up with. Was I transferred the deed into my brother's name, He now has the house. He's going to live in it, take care of it, refurbish, remodel, rebuild, whatever has to be done, and he'll maintain the house so that it won't go. And one of the reasons that this was a concern for me was my grandmother had a very, I thought it was a very unique house. It was an old sharecropper's house. And my grandfather wasn't a sharecropper. He was a landowner, but he was a man of moderate means or you know, simple needs. He owned 120 acres, which my mother and her sister inherited, the house being on my aunt's property. Well, when my aunt died, her son, my cousin, just allowed the house to go down. And the county came and condemned it. So then my cousin had to pay the expense to have it officially raised. And it was just a sad moment for me to see that. And I didn't want that to happen to my mother's house. So I was very grateful that my brother was able to take over and manage it for us. And now it's his house. I don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's out of my hands.
Well,
even,
and it frees up brain space for you now.
It does. And it frees up brain and heart space. Because when it was my house, even if my brother had moved in and taken care of it, it still would have been my responsibility. Now it's his house, and he owns all the responsibility too.
Yep. That's awesome.
So what did you do on your spring break?
Well, you know, I was able to concentrate on doing some other things I didn't always have time to do, and I spent plenty of time in cleaning up the garden, getting ready for the new growing season coming up here. Always got to be careful. I don't like to just go in and sweep everything out as soon as the dead of winter hits, because there's a lot of little critters, insects and animals and things that live in the dead brush that's left over from last year. And so I usually wait till the last possible minute, you know, to finish cleaning all everything out. And I'll tell you, the other day I was going to start trimming out my Buddha belly bamboo tree, which is really thick and heavy. And I noticed a lot of activity. The blackbirds are in town now and they're nesting in it. So I went ahead and didn't prune that yet, because last year the blackbirds made a nest in my mango tree, and I pruned it like I normally would. And so it wasn't real heavy brush. And darn it, I woke up in the middle of the night, and a raccoon was raiding the nest.
And thought,
yeah, I was disappointed. I heard all the birds screaming in the middle of the night, and I went out and looked, and sure enough. So this year I just left the brush, you know.
That's the thing about the circle of life. Where, you know, it's sad that the birds lost their eggs, but it also fed the raccoons. And they may have found those eggs anyway, or maybe not. Who knows?
Maybe not, yeah. Well, that's the thing of it. You know, it's natural, life and death. It is the circle of life. And people a lot of times have difficulty realizing that and remembering that. We get kind of uptight. I sure did for a long time, but now I understand it a lot better. It's just death is a part of life, and you know, I remember I grew up as a child. Everybody around me were hunters, a lot of them, and I grew up, couldn't wait to go hunting. And I remember as the first time I went, I did it, and I shot something. It was like, oh, my goodness, look what I'm doing. This isn't this hunting thing. And so I ended that. But I later on learned in life that a lot of traditional religions, I was studying Native American religions, they connected the spirit of the animal that nourished their family and thanked it, like the value that it was, giving life, and kind of indicates the symbiotic relationship that we all have.
Exactly. And, you know, my father was a fisherman, and he fished for food. You know, he would go and get food, fish that was going to be our dinner that night.
Yeah.
Well, there were times that I would go with my father fishing because he knew that if I went, I'd be sitting there reading a book. I didn't care about fishing. And sometimes my mother would say, take some of the kids with you. Well, I'll take Mary. She's going to be quiet. So I'd come along, and I'd notice that he'd be fishing without even a hook on his line. No bait, no hook. No. He was fishing, but he was just being out in nature. And I know that there are fishermen who do the catch and release. They think that's a big deal. I don't believe in that. I think maybe I don't know what the word is, but maybe I'm too kind-hearted. But to me, okay, fine. If you're going to catch a fish or if you're going to kill a deer and eat it, you know, or that's how you feed your family. I know a woman whose her husband is a big fisherman. But she cooks all the fish they eat, and he's a big hunter, and she cooks all the meat that he brings home, whether it's wild pig or wild deer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They have duck, you know, they all of their seasonal stuff he does, they eat. Well, and they don't mount the heads or anything like that. But the reason I don't think catch and release should be considered sporting, it's the same as if you say, oh, I'm going to take my kid swimming, and you hold his head underwater until he's gasping for air, and then you bring him up and say, oh, isn't that for sporting? Isn't this fun, son?
To me, I hear you.
It's not fun for the fish to be hooked, caught, measured, photos taken of. The whole time this fish is gasping for air, even though he's in the air, he can't breathe because he's not in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, oh, well, that's releasing. That's the sporting way. I just don't think it's very sporting.
Well, it's still grabbing that living thing and trying to do what you just said, you know, for crying out loud. I don't know. I think to me the big difference was when I was a kid, I thought hunting was just going hunting and shooting and all that, and I didn't realize the overall implications everything had, you know, the relationships, I guess, we had with each other. The things I was shooting in me.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a hunting story. My oldest son, when he was, I don't know, 12 or 13, and he was raised in the country like you, and so he always had a gun from the time he was old enough to carry one, I think. And he thought hunting was the thing. So he went hunting one day, and he was walking in the woods looking for a deer to shoot, and a snake fell out of a tree right on to his shoulder.
Wow.
And it was a harmless snake, I think. I don't really know. But he said he took off running. He decided that was his last time hunting for a while. Yeah, that was his sign from God. You know, maybe you don't want to be killing all my creatures. But as he ran, he noticed the snake was running right along with him. And the snake wasn't changing direction, so he had to find another way out.
Oh, no. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. It's really something that I know that we each are all on our own journey, and we all have to figure this stuff out. And I tell you, it's one of my favorite things to do is come here and take a break with you, Mary, because we do solve many of the world's problems here. And
we share the pot for others.
Exactly. And I want to tell all of our listeners, please, that we're so glad you took a break with us today. Thanks so much for listening, choosing to listen to us, of course. You can visit beunique.org for details about all our shows.
That's BUNEKE.org.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. See you tomorrow.